Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of June, and I'm recording at 10:04 p.m., and that is British Summer Time here in sunny London, or at least it was earlier today. Okay, now here's the quick executive summary here for very busy people. First, the torturous Greek EU negotiations. They soured a little bit in here today, dragging on interminably past deadlines, and that's weighed on stock markets here. In addition to that, China's markets were a little weaker because of concern over what's the main policy now, and how far back will that A-share index come or be allowed to come? And the European markets, they gave up some gains earlier on here today, and the on the same discussions. Wall Street, well, a little softer here also, and reversing some gains that we had seen earlier in the day. So a retreat for stock markets for the most part. Government bond yields pushed somewhat higher in here. 2.407 is the yield. They edged up a little bit yesterday as well. And really, as far as I'm concerned, this is a type 3 base formation development, ranging time and size, and that yields will move higher in the second half of this year. The only thing that would prevent that from happening would be if the U.S. economy came in considerably weaker than it is likely to do so. So it's that data plus perceptions among all those, I fear, somewhat complacent holders of those government bonds. And as their perceptions change, that could drive the yields up more quickly than fundamental factors might otherwise suggest. Now, the VIX index, which rallied yesterday, rallied again today. It's just beyond the middle portion of its ranging pattern. It's at 14.01. That's not a problem, but it has moved up from 12 and a bit in the last couple of days. Now, elsewhere, the dollar a little bit easier in here today for the most part. The CCI commodity index is a little bit firmer for the fourth consecutive day, and it's certainly not precious metals that are carrying it higher. Palladium led those lower here today. We had a little bit of short covering in platinum, up $11, but palladium fell more steeply. That one's controlled by Russia. Interesting to see this weakness. I'm wary of the precious metal sector here still. Not enough interest in it. And anything else to mention? I did comment on those rallying agricultural commodities, and I'll try to find out some information on that as will Owen. But they are rallying from the lower side of their trading ranges, and it is also an interesting time of the year in terms of the European and North American crops. Okay, so there, that's the end of that quick summary. Let's look at these markets in a little bit more detail here now. Japan, a little overbought in the short term. We saw eases of 0.5 percentage point across the indices. I mentioned China down quite sharply. The Shanghai Composite was down almost 3.5%, and the Hong Kong indices were clipped as well. Now, Shanghai A-shares are expensive, and the government's really been controlling that for the most part. But I would not want to have a long position there. The Hong Kong indices are really very attractively valued. That's been the case for a long time, but even more so today here. And we've got with the H Share Index, that's HSCEI, that's got a PE that's below 10. I think it's at 9.8, and a dividend yield of over 3%. So you don't find that in every market around the globe, that's for sure. Taiwan had a decent day here, up 0.4%. And that's the third day in a row that Taiwan has rallied. That suggests we've seen an important bottom here this week. Now, India, firmer in here today. It's been helped by the monsoon. There's a little bit of uncertainty about what's going to happen, because one of the Indian weather reporting services is saying that an El Nino could lead to a premature end to the monsoon in mid-July. I certainly hope not, but it's in the hands of the weather gods here. Some people feel that's quite a speculative forecast, the weather report, not mine. That's something that may affect India's performance over the over the next couple of months or so. Meanwhile, though, I think we did see an important low earlier this month, and the Sensex index is 100 points off that region of psychological resistance that I mentioned on Tuesday, near the 28,000 level. So it'll be interesting to see how it performs there. If it's able to push through that without too much trouble, that will confirm that this month's low is indeed at least a medium-term low, and probably more than that. Okay, it would open the door to a rally back towards the highs that we saw in February and March. Now, on the European indices, they are affected by this sort of Scylla and Charybdis situation here over the Greek negotiations. What those say, to put it bluntly, is that while the EU is desperate to keep Greece in the single currency, and at least EU officials, and also while the Greek politicians, even the left wingers and communists, they want to stay within the EU. But it just shows how poorly the torturous long discussions and all the problems show how difficult it is to come up with any kind of acceptable agreement, because poor Greece's economy is in just a mess, and the debts are rising, and the GDP is falling. Greece should have never been in the EU to begin with, but it's hard to keep it in there, although that's certainly what they're actually trying to do. Now, assuming, and I cross my fingers on this, assuming that they patch something together to keep Greece in, then we can expect that powerful tailwind of 60 million euros a month to kick in, and that's the quantitative easing, Mario Draghi's quantitative easing, and that would really be a strong tailwind for European stock markets. But of course, while these torturous negotiations continue, that QE is neutralized as an influence. And of course, if there's a shock to the system and Greek falls out, there'll be a spasm to the downside, and then we'll have to look for the QE to support the market after that after a sharp additional sell-off. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. The European stock markets represent good value. The regions, economies were looking a little less desperate, Greece excepted, and the QE is going to be around for quite a while. So I think it's medium-term scope to the upside for those European markets is likely to be there, but don't be surprised if we see more volatility. Also, we still are in that somewhat tricky period seasonally for stock markets, and I'm talking about the May through October period, where on average stock markets underperform compared with the November through April period, when they generally on average outperform. Okay, Wall Street, a little bit of the Greek problem there as well here today, leading to modest declines overall from some good levels to the upside. NASDAQ had the smallest decline, only down a fifth of a percentage point. The S&P slipped only less than a third of a percentage point, and the Dow just a little bit more overall. And having seen new highs on indices such as the Russell 2000 and the NASDAQ Composite, some consolidation of a very, very short-term overbought condition is not too surprising. It remains a risk for tomorrow, unless we're all surprised by some sort of breakthrough on the Grexit discussions. And those government bonds that I mentioned, I think that that if it was just a matter of the speed with which the U.S. economy, the snail's pace speed with which the U.S. economy picks up, or well, then we'd get a lengthy basing formation and yields would move up more slowly. On the other hand, what I think is the risk here is that I talked about complacency in the market, and you've seen that in some of the emails as well. If we get a one of those moments of a sort of consensus perception change, and a number of people start to move to the exit, since there are an awful lot of long positions there, to put it mildly, then you could see yields move up much more quickly, and that would be unsettling here for markets generally. And after a 35 a year or so bull market, a fall in terms of falling yields, well, it would be inconceivable that we won't get some sharp rallies in yields over the next few years. So we'll have to watch out for that overall. But stock markets, is there any evidence that we could see a really big sell-off in stock markets? I don't think so. And the yield curve is supportive in here. And yes, well, Wall Street still remains in form, a little bit expensive, but against a very low interest rate, such as we see, and the expectation that, that the interest rates. I'm not talking about the bonds now, but I'm talking about the Fed's interest rate, how quickly it moves those short-term rates up. They say they'll do it on a very gradual basis. That's probably true. So I don't think that valuations today are out of line significantly in terms of that monetary policy. And it's still, overall, it's still a bull market. And I expect further gains, but I also expect a choppy environment. And I've already mentioned the point that we're in the time of the year when markets don't do, or well, are not at their very best on average. And precious metals, I don't like the chart action here, and I think there's too much competition still, and they don't have inflation to worry about at this time. Also the dollar's a little bit firm, and that's holding them back. So there isn't really a good buying theme there, at least in the short to medium term, which I'll define in this instance over the next few months. And agricultural commodities, it looks interesting, coming off lows. Again, as I said earlier, I'll try to check it out and see what's helping to drive those higher. On that note, all the very best to all of you.